Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John. 93.9 FM, ESPN. I hope everybody's having a pleasant start to their Memorial Day weekend. Because it is. It's Friday, so it's the weekend already. And I've seen folks traveling into Memphis already started their weekends off yesterday. Saw that with some packed restaurants. Speaking of restaurants, man, did I have an experience, Brad, that I'm going to have to tell you about. But
Ray Charles here.
I didn't realize you were going
to
go here.
Yeah, just to get a. I enjoy Ray Charles to get me in the holiday weekend spirit.
A patriotic mood.
Yeah.
And a grateful mood, a thankful mood.
Yeah, sorry. Right? I just thought the music kind of get us in this three-day weekend mode. You deserve a day off Monday, brother.
Well, remember what we're getting it for. It's, you know, for what our servicemen and women have done for us.
Yes, sir.
In terms of those that have died in fighting that ultimate battle for us, it's our freedom. Right.
Amen.
So we have to remember what it's for. And so this is certainly appropriate.
Yes.
It'll be a patriotic weekend. But I got to tell you, I saw something. So Memphis last night, a restaurant. I hesitate to name the restaurant. I really do. But I saw something so Memphis last night to make you feel very unpatriotic.
Oh,
yeah. I'm going to have to tell you about that at some point. Mm. I had the wife and kid with me.
Oh, no. Oh, the whole crew in there.
Oh, man. Just...
Not a good way to start it off.
This place has just gone downhill. Let me tell you that. Let me tell you that. We'll get to that.
Oh, no.
You know what else is going downhill? The Indiana Pacers' chances of winning
the Eastern Conference. Oh, brother. That went out the door in game one.
It almost feels like there's nothing to talk about anymore.
It sucks.
Especially if Tyrese Halliburton is injured for some significant amount of time, obviously. Hamstrings bothering him.
Yep.
You know, was at the half, and then third quarter they had to pull him. And Celtics go on to win 126-110. Brad Carson wins again with a winner. Now, that's not good for the segment because Brad picked it right last night. What it does prove.
I wasn't happy about it.
Is that these are integrity picks.
No, and I will be going with the Celtics again over the weekend. That's a little preview for you.
I will say that even though we're not including them in your postseason record versus spread, and we shouldn't.
These little teasers.
Your little prop teasers.
Are awful, which is great.
We're 0-4 on.
Yeah.
And so you've been able to break even the last couple of nights.
I mean, those it kind
of
helps it.
Those that are true fade Brad bettors that are all in here and hopefully betting separately, then you're able to break even with these nice little bonuses you've given us. So I hope you guys have been listening closely as Brad has given us these nice little bonus nuggets that have either kept us even.
Yes.
Or, you know, 0-4, you're 4-0 on his props. He's wrong on all of them.
Interesting.
It's fantastic.
The 1250 segment, I know it is designed for fade gamblers against me.
Correct.
However,
correct.
Yesterday, Larry Ray, former Preps beat, you know, on the commercial appeal.
OG Preps, man.
My guy was covering, like, Bishop Byrne games in 1978.
Yes.
Okay, he's been
at it for a while.
Saw all
the greats.
Yeah, so this dude yesterday, he said, what's up with Fade Brad? And I'm like, you're not a gambler, Larry. What are you doing?
He probably doesn't understand it.
No, he understands it.
Oh,
he enjoys listening to how wrong I've been on this thing.
Oh, wow.
He was kind of having some fun.
It is kind of wacky.
So even as he's a loyal
Baptist
non-gambler.
Dude, I told you, my kid's checking in every day, and that's not a good sign for him, although we're actually using this as an exercise to prove to him why he shouldn't do it,
right.
You know, how wacky this stuff is.
Yes.
But yeah, I didn't realize we've got the young and the older with
non-gamblers,
Larry Ray.
Non-gamblers, too.
They're all, and non-gamblers,
yeah.
All paying attention.
Like Larry Ray, I'm like, Larry, you paying attention?
They're just amazed by your consistency.
Wild.
To in picking losers. Our percentage in Fading Brad took a hit last night.
Yeah.
Obviously with Celtics covering.
Sorry.
However, it's one that's still worth shouting about. We'll get to this. But like we said, this series feels like it's over now. Even if Halliburton does come back, and this is a relatively short injury for him in terms of trying to get back, he's not going to be the same. That hamstring is the same one that bothered him early in the season. I think he missed 9-10 games for. So not a good thing for the Celtics. I got two words for their side because we talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
Jaylen Brown.
Oh, wow. What a night. No. Holy cow.
Remember the conversation we had yesterday?
I remember. That's what I was thinking about.
Which of the duo do you trust more right now? Do you want with the ball in his hand?
Brown? Brown do for you?
Let me tell you something. And he came out last night after the game. Dude is playing with a chip on his shoulder.
You know. Oh, my God.
About
goodness.
This Tyrese Halliburton being the 15th yes. and final guy on the All-NBA teams on that third team. Guess who missed out? Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
They asked him if it bothered him last night. I would clearly say it has. If you heard his answer at all, they had to bleep it out. It's definitely bothered you. And I like a dude with a chip on his
motivated.
Shoulder. Oh, I mean, he saved you in the first one in terms of sending it to overtime.
Mm.
Again, we could talk about Tatum's 10 in overtime, and he finally came,
alive.
But Jaylen Brown, you're not in overtime if he doesn't hit that shot.
Yep.
You know, to open it up. And, yes, the Pacers, you know, gave away that one. Now it feels like, you know, any hope is probably lost again with this Tyrese Halliburton injury. We will talk about that. Certainly, and this is something I discussed with Jeff this morning, and it's a column he's written over at the Daily Memphian. Huge news in college athletics yesterday.
Saw this.
With the NCAA court case news that's going to set up a revenue sharing model that's optional for power conference programs.
That's the key.
Not you.
Ugh.
Not you, Memphis.
Mm.
And so, I'll be real honest with you. I mean, the vibe around here in terms of Memphis athletics, particularly as it relates to football,
mm-hmm.
had been great. What have we been talking about? Best position you've ever been in terms of chance to make the college football playoff and everything else. It's kind of like I was saying with Jeff, like Memphis has been one of the have-nots, obviously, trying to be one of the haves for decades.
Yes.
Decades. That's always been our plight here. And it's like and you're in a race with those haves. They've always been ahead of you. Frankly, they have lapped you in terms of what they're getting from mm-hmm. these media rights deals. Like, let's be real. It's already an unlevel playing field. And they've basically told Memphis, well, now this is strictly for our power programs. You are not one of those. You will not be a part of this. How do you compete at the highest level if you're not even going to be allowed to? So, again, we could talk about, you know, right now having the opportunity to make a college football playoff. There's a lot of reason to believe there's going to be a complete break-off in football now, Brad, with the Power Four.
Yep.
We get why the little guy means so much in the NCAA tournament. That thing makes billions. It works there, the Cinderella story. They don't need you. The power programs don't need you to sell a college football playoff product, right, that frankly, if it does feature one of you, if you did, you're going to get lit up. The little guys have had a chance to win and have had their runs in the NCAA tournament. It's part of what it makes it the greatest tournament in sports, really. It really is. Like the Cinderellas, the big dogs, you all got one. You got to go 6-0. Everything's the same in that sense. Football's different, Brad. They could break off at this point. And in fact, you're seeing columns written today that says they should. And how can you keep up, even if you want to? Paying that $20 million that now has to go directly, you know, now will go directly to student-athletes, your student-athletes, that's as a result of this settlement. How are you going to come up with that? You know, Memphis just got what felt like was a ton in terms of $5 million a year from FedEx in terms of NIL. Now you're going to have 20. Where are you pulling that from? And again, for now, it's only for the power programs. Memphis ever going to be one of those? Maybe now you have, if you want to compete at the highest level, you have to hope that the ACC breaks up or whatever else. But obviously, huge news there. Yes, I understand, and I always have, and I've always thought, these players should be compensated. And real quick, I'll just say, you still see a lot of finger pointing, especially from the old heads, that say, they're ruining it. they just taken their college scholarships writing this. They shouldn't be paid in the first place. There's still too much of that, Brad. This money's been held back. You know the reason why we're here is because the big dogs at the top have taken advantage of this system for so long and lined their pockets with money off of the system that finally the folks in the system are fighting back now, right, in a way that, no, you're going to pay us, that you're owed us this. And, man, they've got to pay up for athletes going back to 2016. And so what it's done is you forced this hand by being so greedy up at the top. And it's all coming back to haunt you now. Unfortunately for Memphis, it puts you in a position where, you know, we already knew there was a divide between the haves and have-nots. This is a clear sign saying you got to stop right here. Only power programs proceed into this optional, you know, revenue-sharing program. Who knows if Memphis can catch the boat? Lots of questions. I'm not going to pretend. You know, reading on this morning, last night, read Jeff, read the national stuff. I'm not going to pretend like I got a hold of the path for Memphis or like I know what's going to happen here. And that's the other part. Probably overreacting to this when we know that Memphis, just its history, has always found a way. That's probably the wrong move too, right? But clearly this is now a now stated line, new era in college athletics that you don't know. You hope,
yeah,
because it always has, but you don't know if this Memphis program is going to be able to compete in. We will get to all that again. This was supposed to be a setup of the show. It's become quite a long monologue. But that's how, frankly, it's how much of a game changer this NCAA settlement yesterday is for Memphis. And so it's hard to be up in that conversation. It's hard to have an exciting and fun and weekend type conversation with what's going on right now. But obviously things changing, and with those questions, we'll need answers. Ja Morant's doing a basketball camp. That's good news.
Ja Morant, I'm on my Grizzly.
Ja out and about in public is always good news. But it's the way he's doing it. I just got something on my heart I got to say. Apparently I'm not the first one. One of our guests, Larry Anthony Sain, I think, has also spoken on the news we got that Ja Morant's having a basketball camp. Penny Hardaway's having a basketball camp. Thad Young puts on basketball camps. This goes on all the time. But something in particular about this Ja Morant basketball camp that I want to get to. And then before, as I said, we get to all that, let me set up the show 11:25 or so. We'll talk to him. Very excited about this because he's a Memphian. And I know him. I knew his father, Minnesota Timberwolves superfan, Cottrell Macklin. Minnesota Timberwolves superfan. What's she talking about? He is that. Don't hate on him because he's a Memphian. I can't wait until because I'm trying to still understand it. He tells us this story. How you become a Minnesota superfan that's gone viral in their fan base, now gotten yourself, you know, so much so that Anthony Edwards has given you signed shoes. How you did that still living in Memphis? How has Cottrell Macklin done this? A guy who many of you all already know, son of Corey Macklin, who was, you know, great former media personality around here, did the wrestling, wrestling announcer. Just this huge, huge persona and person. So, and I get this, I can hear it in terms of, you know, what Cottrell has accomplished here. There's a ton of his dad in terms of, like, the energy and everything else. And it's that, it's the costume he's got on. This guy, I don't know how he's going back and forth between here and still working here, I believe, as a digital realtor, getting back and forth between Memphis, Minnesota. He's been on the road in Phoenix. He's like, he's living the life. Being a super fan at night and a realtor by day, we're going to ask Cottrell Macklin how he's doing it. At noon, we'll do the rundown like we always do. A lot of news to get to, obviously, particularly as it relates to this NCAA case and settlement. Around 12:45 or 12:50, we'll do the segment that's sweeping the nation, although it is 2-0 in its last two. Faye Brad Carson still hitting at a very nice clip that the Sharps would be jealous of. We've got game two of Mavericks and Timberwolves tonight, which you can hear right here on 929 FM ESPN. Give me a ding, Brad. Yes, sir. Starting at 7:30 p.m., we're also going to obviously have Brad weigh in. I'm curious, because I haven't talked to Brad beforehand, we've got two games for you because we're going into the weekend.
Yes.
We've got tomorrow's line, too.
Yep.
Does that mean two bonus picks as well?
Two teasers as
well. I didn't
want to
put any extra. I was hoping so.
Yep, it's
so
all
we'll
laid out.
So we'll have four picks for
low
you.
Low research and just quick circles and some notes.
Brad has promised us very low research.
Very little.
Hope it'll be even less than what it's been the last 2 days.
I've tried to back it off a little
you've
bit.
You've picked winners.
Yeah.
You've been on the winning scent. And then at 1:25 or so, he's been very gracious to do so. We flipped some things around, and we've got Anthony saying, actually hoping that'll be more around 1:15, 1:20. He's been Very cool. Like we said, to move some things around for me here as we've got Cottrell Maclin in Sane's usual spot at 11:25. We're going to talk about those now acknowledged by the Grizzlies assistant coaching changes that, guys, go back. There's receipts. Sane was the first one to tweet about hearing assistant coaching change. Now here we are, you know, what was it, 2 weeks later, and we've seen now Taylor Jenkins acknowledge, you know, calling it a restructuring and everything else, but clearly change is afoot for the Memphis Grizzlies as it relates to the assistant coaching staff. We'll talk about that with Sane, what else he's heard, and I heard his son. His son's got a Memphis and his son, who is now playing tackle football. You know, Gabe Sane, 5-star, 2032 prospect. We're going to get a recruiting update on him as well. I don't know if you saw Baby Gronk committed to Colorado.
Oh, I didn't. I missed
so,
this.
Yeah, the younger kids are signing up. And so Gabe may be nearing a decision here somewhere.
Wow.
Talk to Sane about that, everything else he's doing. You know, also about this Ja Morant camp, which I believe he's weighed in on his show. So we will talk about that. Listen, probably laid out of a lot of it already, but, you know, set Celtics Pacers to the side because that's over. This is obviously a national story that affects the Memphis Athletic Department in a way that we don't know all the answers to in terms of how it will proceed. But obviously the NCAA and its five power conferences, now that's really four. Pac-12 is just holding on, but there's nothing there. Voted to approve terms of a multi-million-dollar settlement to resolve three antitrust lawsuits, paves the way for schools to pay athletes and what would mark seismic change. This is coming from the Athletic story. You can read it AP. You can read it over Daily Memphian. All the national stories. Again, Calkins has written about this and discussed it on his show. He's localized it, obviously asking the questions, what happens to Memphis? But essentially, you know, nuts and bolts. Basically, the agreement's still got to be approved by a judge, but will settle three pending federal antitrust cases. NCAA's been fighting. And new, Brad, here's why we're here, that if it didn't settle, you're talking about possibly $20 billion that they end up losing. If they lose this case, $20 billion as opposed to the 2.75, 2.8-ish that they agreed to in the settlement. If they've lost this, you're looking at potential bankruptcy for the NCAA. And of course, let's be real, the still rich NCAA obviously still wants to keep a hand, as much of a hand in this as it can. Didn't want, you know, if it fought this tooth and nail, it could end up losing everything, including all of its power by declaring bankruptcy. And so it had to settle here. And as a result, they're going to pay more than $2.7 billion, I think it's $2.75, in damages over 10 years to past and current student-athletes. So athletes who were denied the opportunity, Brad, to get current NIL opportunities, right, because of previous the inability to do that. Again, all that money at one point just being funneled back in to these athletic departments, to these ADs, everybody else. I mean, it goes all the way up to presidents as far as I'm concerned. The agreement, and this is where Memphis comes in, the agreement includes a revenue-sharing plan allowing each school in the Power Four to share up to roughly $20 million per year with their student-athletes. Again, right now, that's Power Four. Memphis is not a part of that, okay? If it was, and we've talked about the ways in now, I mean, you know, Big 12 said no to you. You know, you watched Cincy and UCF go on. Saw SMU buy its way into the ACC, and you see how valuable positions and spots those are, because those are the ones in this group now that have the option to just really run away from you. You are not a part of that. Now, we've talked about with Florida State, Clemson wanting to get out of the ACC. Those scenarios have been out there for a long time. They're not the only ones. That thing could blow up, and perhaps that is your way, being with your as it is with your standing now, right? Folks look at you in the group of five now, and it's fantastic in terms of timing that, you know, FedEx, Fred Smith comes through with an NIL deal that makes national news, particularly for group of fives who don't have the kind of corporate backing, right? My point is, you're at the front of the have-nots. You've got a shot. And so if an ACC opens up now, all of a sudden needing some value and looking around and not seeing much out there, you're at the front of the line. Guys, it's like the only lifeline. You know, again, if this is going to be the case where only these Power Four schools have this option. Again, if even if you wanted to do it outside of it, could Memphis come up with the 20 million that you need to pay your current student athletes. On the outside, probably not. You know, it's going to be media rights deals that helps those Power Four pay that money off. It's money you don't have. It's money you got to get in. If you're going to even be in the race, you've got to get into one of those Power Fours. So maybe that happens, maybe it doesn't. Again, that's a question we can't answer today. And it's one that we've always, let's be real, we've thought the path has opened up before. We've thought we've been good enough before. And the door has always been closed in our face. It could very well be again. Unfortunately, that's the position Memphis is in right now. Now, and I was discussing this with Jeff, it does feel like at a time where you're waving a flag, hey, don't forget about us. Look at us. We just took ownership of our football stadium, which, oh, by the way, is getting $220 million in renovations. We've got this groundbreaking NIL deal with FedEx that no one else in the Group of Five has. And we've got this football program that has an opportunity here in 2024 to make the college football playoff. You can't tell me that Cincinnati, for those couple of years, didn't strike while the iron was hot, and folks, you almost couldn't deny them in the sense of them getting pulled up because of what they had done with their football program and the fact that they cashed in on those years, making the college football playoff, everything else. Brad, they couldn't be denied because they were everywhere. They were national. I feel like you got to do that right now. That's the way I put it with Jeff, like you got to cash in. You know how we're talking about Grizzlies got to cash in next 2 years because that's how long you got Jaren for sure? I feel like it's the same for Memphis right now with potentially, Brad, the ship leaving. You've got to cash in, make that college football playoff. Again, I'm not calling it the expectation, but this is what needs to certainly win the AAC, hopefully have the shot to make the college football playoff, show yourself off again as the best thing outside the power structure so that hopefully if there is that opening, again, I look and the only place it looks like it's shaking is the ACC, that they say, man, again, in a world, a Group of Five world where there isn't much value, that's what they've told you all your life. And frankly, look at the ones that have been pulled. SMU had to buy their way in. Memphis is looking like the best thing right now. Oh, by the way, their football program just went 11-1, has got a shot at the college football playoff, right? Cincinnati, you can't tell me that that didn't help Cincinnati at that time. Because again, look at Cincinnati's facilities and everything else. We were better than them in a lot of ways. Cincinnati's market didn't help them get in. You know, that wasn't held against them in the way that it is against Memphis. And so, back to the point, since he made it, you got to make it now. It feels like the only way out. This is going to become a reality. These athletes, these student athletes, going to get their money now. Here's the other part of this, and it's sad. What for the schools that do opt into this, what's going to happen to non-revenue sports, the ones that don't make money? I mean, folks have pretty much admitted they're the ones that are going to get the shaft here. Because as you try to take care of football and basketball, right, football obviously the king, trying to take care of the revenue-making sports and pay this $20 million, ultimately belts will be tightened. You know why? Because the folks up at the top aren't going to want to change their paychecks, okay? They're going to tighten the belts down at the bottom. It's just typically how it goes in college athletics, and that will continue again. So you know, them pulling it off is going to be one thing. Brad, there are some power programs, quote-unquote, power four programs, that aren't going to be able to do this. And so they've got decisions to make. Back to the point, I worry about the non-revenue sports that ultimately are going to get pinched that weren't getting enough as it is. A lot of those are going to be cut loose, especially at the Group of Five schools that are just trying to keep up and play at a relatively competitive level, their football programs and basketball programs. And so, again, I don't know how you survive outside of it, because one thing I've always believed here in Memphis is that, you know, it's having the shot to win the big title that's kept us pushing and kept us at spots where it looks like, oh, man, it's over for Memphis. They left you. They left you behind. We don't have the resources, limited number of ambassadors. Right? I've always thought that thirst, because you've been to the national title game, you know what I'm saying, in basketball, and we're in a unique situation, like I was talking about, Jeff, where a lot of the athletic department going on's here, mostly it's football and other athletic departments, but it's basketball here too. But it's been tasting that the Final Fours and national championships, that when things have looked bleak, Brad, for that program, folks have kicked in and done what they've needed to do. And maybe that will always exist. But, bro, if football breaks off, if the Power Four breaks off, and why shouldn't it? Why shouldn't it break off at this point? Why does it need a little guy in its college football playoff? I don't know how you survive in Memphis And I hate to keep going back to John's phrase because it made us all bristle up when he said it. But plan for a secondary title, if that's what ends up happening, a break off and then the group of five's plan for a title. I don't know, man. Secondary titles around here. You know, especially when you got Grizzlies in town, you know, we feel like a pro city now. And again, that's why we've always treated that Memphis basketball program as a pro city, because it feels like they can win the big one. They can get to the championship game. Will we still feel that way about football? Will it still be supported and resourced in a way that's competitive and us feel like when it's all for a smaller trophy? Because, you know, and again, right now we feel so good about Memphis's time with these 2 years. We've got a college football playoff and the group of five spot. We feel great about it. And it feel, you know, you're getting money from FedEx. That's all great right now. But what if that spot's not there in the future? And it very well might not be. Can that football program survive? It's just now getting the resources. It's just now getting to a level it really needs to compete with the big boys. Can it survive in a new world where you're not being allowed into this new power structure that I don't think is going to leave room for the little guy and may not want you as one of the big boys?
So yesterday, I'm filling in this week for Connor on the afternoon show. I'll do it again this afternoon. And Gabe talked about this extensively because Gabe played at University of Memphis. And, you know, until this morning's column by Jeff, and I think I'm not like a lot of, unlike a lot of consumers who are listening right now and who read the column this morning, honestly, it didn't occur to me that it was just Group of Five until I read that this morning. And I'm being totally honest. I got a lot going on. We're all doing our jobs. And then I read that column this morning. And I was like, oh, we're not in that. I mean, maybe that, call me stupid, that's fine. But I think I'm not unlike a lot of people who read that column this morning or are listening to your broadcast today who are for the first time learning, wait a minute, the $20 million per school is only for the Power Four.
Optional for the Power Four.
And that's really wild to me.
So how do you get the top athletes at Memphis, right, if everybody is going to the top schools?
You don't.
Where they're paying $20 million per year to their student athletes.
The answer
right?
is you don't.
You get a different level of athlete. And if you get a different level of athlete, right, how do you keep a competitive, good product out there?
You can't.
Again, at Memphis getting the best athlete. Look, how good do we feel about the fact that we're pulling recruits from the SEC right now? We're pulling guys that led Tennessee in tackles. You know what I'm saying? How good do we feel about that right now? If the chance to win big and to get the big player is taken away from you, are we going to support it the way we have? Are we going to still hoping to get Memphis over the top? You know what I'm saying? Or is it going to be a mountain that you just can't climb, particularly in football? I think, again, Memphis basketball is such a unique situation that, again, the NCAA tournament is going nowhere. It's going to help pay for some of this money, I'm telling you, because of the billion-dollar industry that it is. They're not letting the little Cinderella go anywhere. So as long as Memphis basketball can be in that, Brad, and win the big one. That's what's important around here. I think it can find a path through. Football, though, if they break it off and they don't invite you in, I don't see how you survive. Again, I'm not saying you close the program down. There have been Memphis fans go back for decades having a blast right now, you know, winning 10 games, everything else that will still go. But can it be something where you're getting 25,000 to 30,000 people out there playing for a smaller trophy because frankly the athletes that your schools get don't come close to matching the ones that are going off to the Power Four to get the $20 million a year that those schools are giving them. The playing field was already, not to cut you off, but just to sort of put a finer point on, playing field was already unlevel. You're already playing catch up, and they just shifted it like a tectonic shift again on you. I just don't, if they're not going to invite you in, I just don't see how you survive, particularly as it relates to the football program.
You can't, and unless something were to change in order to be in that Power Four, the weird thing
you gotta
to me,
get pulled up.
The weird thing to me is we had these conversations about focusing on basketball, and there were even conversations about eliminating football. I'm not saying that's right, but I think it was always a relevant conversation because now you're going to pour $250 million into the stadium and you're taking the $20 million and you're pouring a lot of that into football and you may never get there.
That's why you got to get in. That's why, frankly, we need to be sending lawyers down to Florida State and Clemson and helping them.
Am I wrong to say that ship might have sailed about 5 years ago when we were really operating at a high level?
Well, again, you mean in terms of
The
fact that we didn't
you
get pulled in
You talked about Cincinnati's
then.
Window. Our window, it looked a lot better 5 years ago, especially today.
I don't know. I would still tell you, again, if it's going to open up, and it will, because the ACC is going to blow up, that's still a realistic way in for you, because there'll be nothing left there'll be nothing left for the ACC, those schools remaining, to pull from.
Right.
You're at the front of that line. I mean, but what I can't deny, and you're right about, is that you've thought you were there before, right, in great position. We can compare positions, which one's better, this is better than that one a few years ago, whatever else, but the fact is you've been here before, and the answer's always been no. And it very well could be, again, to your point.
Well, and
you hope that's not the case.
In basketball, it happened with
the Big
East.
That's why you got to cash in right now.
Yeah, you're right. In basketball, it happened with the Big East, and then they pulled the rug from underneath of us. It happened last year, or 2 years ago, when we didn't get into the Big 12. It's happened again because one of the power conferences just blew up, and now there's bigger schools than you that are also floating. So it's happened three times where the rug's been pulled underneath of you, and now this is not good news. And you know, so reading the column, it was enlightening.
Again,
today.
One other, you know, maybe they keep a spot open for the little guy, you know, in this new world. We'll take one of you. I'm talking about in the college football playoff.
Right, right.
Maybe there's a way where, for whatever reason, right? And again, when have they been interested in sharing? This is the most opportune time for them to break off at this point either. That's why I say it's unlikely. But maybe they decide, you know, maybe you go to court and you make them reserve a spot for the little guy. That way, If you could get out of the group of five, I'm just saying, if your plight is staying in the group of five,
sure,
they're not taking you. If they're going to keep that position, that's how I can see it succeeding in Memphis, Tennessee, when you again have a shot at the big. You can tell yourself, we've still got a spot in it. We can get it, so let's push. Because that has been Memphis. That's been that athletic department, Brad, for years. Just give us a chance, right, to make the big dance, to have a shot. And we will pull it together and get it. That's what you know. I didn't put that scenario out there because I think it's just so unlikely. When do the big dogs ever want to share a piece of the pie? But maybe if it's court ordered or whatever, I have no idea that whatever this new era looks like in terms of college football playoff. Got to keep a spot in there for the little guy. Maybe that's the way. It in terms of trying to survive on the outside of the power structure. You know, I guess that's a scenario that should be laid out there. I just don't have a lot of hope for it.
Well, and it sounds to me, as somebody who's listened to the fans and listened to y'all talk as alums, nobody's interested in watching 25 or 30,000 people watch a football game. Everybody complains when there's not 40,000. You may not get there.
Well, let's be real. I mean, you know, if you're putting 30, 35 in a football stadium now, you know, that's probably where where Simmons Bank needs to be. And after these renovations, isn't it going to be significantly in terms
40,
of attendance?
It's going to come down. I thought it was 40 or 45.
Yeah, it's coming down.
A little bit.
And it needed to.
Sure.
You are in a cavern. For what you are, right, you are in a cavernous facility. And so it needed to. But, dude, I mean, 30-35 is pretty strong if you're getting that still in college football. Like, college football attendance across the board is down.
Well,
everybody's
and this
on
year,
television and everything else.
While they're renovating, I'm reading from the University of Memphis website, it's going to be in the low 30s. That you could probably fill up.
But what would suck is the scenario that you said you just got all this investment, you just took control of the stadium. You're going to have $220 million in investments in terms of renovations, and you don't get in. You're doing it all in a refurbished place, looking like you belong, but you don't have a spot to go. Even if you said, hey, we'll come up with the $20 million, they going to let you in to do it? Right. There's a possibility
that happening.
That they say, no, you don't bring enough value like they've always told you. Held it against you. Held your diversity against you and everything else. That's why SMU's able to buy its way in. You ain't doing that. Not with your makeup. You don't have the money. You're not one of us. And so yeah, I mean, there's doors, there's pathways to survival, but it's now, after feeling like, man, Memphis is in the best position it's ever been in. It's just gotten harder than it's ever been before. They just pull the rug right out from under you. They tell you, you stop racing right here. We're going to let the rest of the guys, the Power Four, go on. This is where it stops for you. Feels like that's what they're telling you with this.
Yes.
And again, don't blame the student athletes. They were always do this. Blame the ones that kept it away from them from so long, saying, oh, you should just have a scholarship so that they could line their pockets. The NCAA model, you know, that wanted to keep this under, quote, amateurism. Blame that, because this was always going to happen. You know, the fight back was always coming. If you'd given a little bit more earlier, we wouldn't have been here. So, again, don't blame the student athletes who are rightfully getting NIL, that the big dogs, the fat cats, been pocketing for years. Don't blame them. This was always going to come. Should have gave them more earlier. You know, you could have, and I could go on and on. Again, there's ways, and Memphis has always survived, and hopefully it will find a way to do so. Again, we're going to talk to Cottrell Macklin a Minnesota superfan who's gone viral in terms of that fan base, doing it from Memphis, attending games, going back and forth. Know him well. He was the former Ultimate Preps guy around here. Was always at the big East High, anything big in Memphis Preps. He was there combining his unbelievable talents in terms of sportscast and everything else. Cottrell Macklin is a Memphian, former Ultimate Preps host, and now digital realtor, licensed in Tennessee and Mississippi. I'm helping you out there, Cottrell. He does that by day. You got a lot, man. Yeah. I'm so confused. You're gonna have to straighten me out. But what I know is that by day you're a digital realtor. By night, you are a Minnesota Timberwolves super fan who's gone absolutely viral with their fan base, with your, you know, costume antics. I looked up on TV one day. I said, "That's Cottrell." Like I couldn't. Like that's how I first saw it, and then got on Twitter and saw everything. That's like I had to play catch up. But I thought I was seeing somebody that I recognized from here in Memphis, and then so I said, well, he must have moved to Minnesota. But then I find out that you're still living here. So how in the world are you pulling this off, where you're still here, but you have now become like Minnesota Timberwolves fan number one, super fan number one? How are you doing this, Cottrell?
I think that's what it seems like. It seems like I'm number one fan. I mean, even when I go out there, man, it's so much love. I mean, there's fans. I've probably taken over 500 photos just going out to Minnesota. Just
I
going
see.
To the game, walking into the arena, meeting people, stopping me during interviews. It's been pretty amazing. But, you know, I'm also helping my clients here in Tennessee and Mississippi, get under contract, saving money and getting extra money when they're going on the market. So it's all been good. By day, I'm saving money on the real estate market. By night, I guess I am turning into a wolf, huh?
But you don't seem stressed out about this at all. Like, you've also got you're raising a family too, ain't you? Like, you're going.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like, in a way, man, you're living a dream that all of us would love to do. But trying to balance, right, work and then, you know, following a team that, oh, by the way, I'm sure that we got Memphis Grizzlies fans that are saying, what the world? This Memphian is a Timberwolves fan? We got to explain all that to them, too. Your love for the Timberwolves goes far, far back.
Well, you know, man, I think it kind of digs into, you know, starting on the first end of that question, living the dream. I'm not going to say living the dream. I think it's more so that many people have missed out on what life is all about.
Wow.
And I think more so on my side, I'm into wanting to enjoy the moment, being in the moment, and going all out during that moment and making it something memorable. And I think people have started to connect with it. It just seems like more in the Minnesota area now because of just it going viral and, you know, me dressing as a wolf. It's a grown man with wolf hands on. And, you know, now we're getting autographed shoes and things like that. But I think it's just more so I wanted to enjoy the moment. It's the everyday thing and feel of having to raise a daughter and you know, my loving wife, and we're growing a family here in the Tennessee area, and it's been amazing. This was where I was born and raised, so that's been amazing. But the everyday, you know, cooking and cleaning and things like that, you have to find some time to kind of get out there and enjoy, and I think this is what has opened up an avenue for me. You know, kind of going back to the Timberwolves fandom, if you will. You know, the early 2000s for me, I know it's kind of weird, you know, as far as who I like, but as far as Wally Szczerbiak, man, he was a big-time baller in the early 2000s. In my eyes, and I know it's crazy, I hear you laughing, but I know it's crazy, Wally Szczerbiak to me was like, you know, this big-time hooper because, you know, I was in middle school, high school, watching this guy, and I was a three-point shooter myself. I held a couple records at Arlington High School. But, you know, even Wally, man, he was top 10 in three-point field goals, pretty much made. He was, you know, top 5, top 10 in three-pointer percentage. The field goals stat, he's top 10 ever in, like, Timberwolves on the career leadership board for the Timberwolves. And now he just played just a few years for them. So, you know, that's who I ran after. KG, yeah. Everybody knows he's a big-time baller. KG made some big-time noise when he was coming through. But I followed Ant-Man and Nas Reed on the AAU circuit. And ever since then, I had to follow those guys because when I met Ant-Man in person, the most personal, down-to-earth person I've ever met in my life.
I got to ask, because something that you said struck me about you know, living for the moment, you know, every day and every moment. And yep. And I notice on your Twitter bio, You got Do It for Pops on there, and I didn't tell you I was going to take you this direction. I asked this obviously with the utmost sensitivity, but I got to ask how much of you living like that, right? Living in the present, because we all knew your father, and for folks that don't know, Cottrell's father, Corey Macklin, long time, big personality, television, media around here, host of Memphis Wrestling, radio. I mean, he did it all. Cottrell, I got the pleasure of having dinner with him. I think we were in Detroit for Tigers tournament, NCAA tournament, maybe years back. Might have been another city anyway. It was the first time I got to sit down with him. All he talked about was you guys. I thought we were going to talk about all his jobs, man. And all he talked about were his kids. And I just, that night I was just so struck by the father that he was. So I take it back to how much of the way you live now, living for the present, is because of your father, that you're doing it for your pops and living in the moment, the present.
Yeah, well, you know, for me, man, growing up as a kid and, you know, kind of being around that aspect of just wrestling and, you know, growing up around it, I wanted to be around him 24/7 yep. as much as I could. And doing that, you know, I was there to be a loving son, and I wanted to figure out exactly what he was doing. And that fell into the realm of business and sports and management and you know, learning how to be a great, you know, father figure, you know, things like that that I've been able to use in my life. But even more so, you know, with that tragedy that happened in 13, it helped me kind of look at life a little bit differently. I was out of it for at least a couple of months. You know, no one can get in touch with me, but, you know, now I look at it as a sense of, you know, you have to enjoy life for what it is. You have to enjoy it during that moment because you never know when it may end or when it may be cut short. So it's crazy you asked that, but that's the reason why I think everything now and the reason why I am kind of enjoying the moment as it comes.
Not to take you to the tragedy that it was us losing your father 11 years ago, but I just think there's a strength in that. And listen, I couldn't understand the pain you went. I lost my mom in October, first parent I lost, so I couldn't even possibly understand. But yours, I mean, you lose your dad at 43 years old. So, but I feel like it's so important. You talked about kind of being down right afterwards. What Cottrell pulled you out? You know, because you know, with him being so young, and you figure you're going to be around him for so many more years. I just want to know, mm-hmm. you know, what was that strength that you found that helped pull you, or who was it that helped pull you out? For folks that have, you know, because so many of us go through it, not many in terms of the way you did with the tragedy and the accident, like so prematurely. But what pulled you out, brother? If you don't mind my asking.
Well, you know, man, I was in the house with my mom and my brothers and my little sister, so. You know, us being all around, we couldn't all walk around sobbing, which it was a hard time. So, you know, just kind of picking up and looking at life like, hey, we got to keep going. You know, he did such an amazing job laying that groundwork for the Macklin family and just extended family, so many friends that are out there just in the Memphis area. And he loved everyone, especially that came up to him. But, you know, he struck life by, you know, making an impact on everyone he came in contact with. So that's the way that I looked at it. And when I looked at it that way, I said, well, you know, I got to attack it in that sense. You know, I'm still here. I got to keep on a legacy. It's going to be hard to fill those shoes, but I'm going to do what I can by making an impact. And ever since then, that's what has led me on. So Ultimate Preps, that's where that came from. Yep. You know, and I want to make impacts on those younger kids that were trying to get blasted out and get scholarships to college and, you know, get as much exposure as possible, because I felt like I was overlooked as well. But at the same time, I was making an impact. I was putting smiles on their faces, their parents' faces.
Like your dad did.
That's ultimately where that came from.
Man, no doubt. I mean, you saying that, I mean, that's what you're doing up there in Minnesota. Every time these folks walk up to you, you're lighting up folks' lives, man, kids, everything else. I see it in all the pictures and everything else. It's like your father in that, in terms of everything that he touched, right? He's going to make a positive impact. I feel like you're literally doing it. And then when you talk on these things, and I thought the latest one I saw where they gave you the signed Anthony Edwards shoes, dude, I don't know, it's your personality is so much like I can hear how boisterous you are, how outgoing, like all that love, dude, you're giving it, like that love that he gave you, you're giving it out. It just, how in the world, how many of these Minnesota Timberwolves playoff games have you been at? Because you were in Phoenix too, right, on the road too?
Yeah, I think that's where it started, that's where it all kind of blasted out. And I think you have that story on where I got the broom from. So game three in Phoenix, you know, I land. I'm in contact with one of the players that used to play there, really one of the family members. But basically I land in Phoenix, you know, I get the broom from the custodian on game three. The Timberwolves are up 2-0. And I call it a sweep. I knew it was a sweep when that series started. It was over with. They had too much momentum. They got the players. They got the defense. It was over. So I brought the broom out game three. Game four, just kept the broom running. And that. So I went to 3-4 in Phoenix. I went to 1-2 in Denver. And then game seven in Denver. But, you know, to wrap around on the fans thing, you know, I've had many of the Minnesota fans reach out to me. And, you know, I give these people my phone number, man. I'm human just like everyone else. So, you know, they're calling me a legend there, you know.
Yeah. So dude, you have reached super legend, fan number one. It's crazy. It's like there wasn't already one of these. You know, Khalil Macklin goes up there and takes over.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I get calls from CBS and Fox and newspapers and
crazy.
ESPN. The NBA has called me yesterday. ESPN reached out the day before. So, you know, they're calling me a legend. They're offering free tickets to the games. You know, I've actually even had, I can't disclose who it was or what organization it was, but, you know, they flown me out to games, put me in hotels, put me in the arena, logo. Like, you know, but I've had fans. One of the biggest ones that struck me probably is this guy that flew 4,000 miles to watch the Timberwolves in the playoffs. And this guy, he's seen me at the desk. I was asking for a Sharpie because I was going to write the Denver Nuggets on there because I bought a 4-piece nugget from McDonald's and I wrote the Nuggets on Denver Nuggets. And I, you know, when they put me on camera, I was going to eat the Nuggets. That was going to be the whole thing. This guy sat in the lobby, 4,000 miles away, sat in the lobby, waited on me to walk out the door and politely said, I knew who you were. When I just seen you from behind, and I knew you were Desert Crunch, which that's the name they've given me. He wanted to take a picture. And, you know, people from there, they've been forming lines at all the games. It's been fun, but, yeah.
Dude, I have to ask, when you're sweeping the broom in Phoenix around for game 3 and 4, it's one thing when you're in Minnesota and you're getting all that love and they're all running up to you. How bad were the Phoenix fans? I know you got some sideways looks, maybe more than me. I'm sure some of them wanted to curse you. You standing up in a Timberwolves outfit going crazy with a broom.
And there's some videos out there, even with local media, that are like filming. You know, there's people on 10,000 takes on Twitter. They posted out the video. They said there's no one talking more crap right now in Phoenix or in Denver than this guy. And they're like, and I'm sweeping the broom in front of this fan's face. And they're like, they can't do anything because it's swept. Now, you know, Denver fans were a touch. They were definitely worse. You know, I had a couple threats and people wanted to fight and things like that. I came to the game to enjoy, you know, root my team on. It's all fun and games for me. But also, you know, I'm from Memphis. I grew up here. We don't talk a little trash.
Oh, that's right.
And so, you know, it's all fun and games for me. But, yeah, it's sometimes it does go there a little bit. Yep.
Well, I realize you got more interviews to do. And, man, when you're talking to ESPN, you can't talk to me too long. You know, like
we're going to be reaching out to you soon. I know they'll probably take some audio from this interview with you guys' permission. But, man, I appreciate the opportunity reaching out and getting me on here.
Dude, we appreciate you joining us. It had been a while since we had caught up. I got to ask you because your predictions on the first two series were right. Right? You picked Phoenix sweep. You picked Minnesota in seven. In the previous series. And we know that Minnesota obviously down 0-1 in this series. Can we get a prediction out of the prophet, the guy who's had it all right here so far in these playoffs? What's going to happen?
Don't call me a prophet, man. I knew it was going to be a sweep in Phoenix. I knew it was definitely going to go to 7 in Denver because they're the defending champs. NBA, ESPN is not going to let that go like that. They're not going to sweep Denver. This one here, I feel like it can go in 6. You know, I feel like the Timberwolves are going to get over the top, though. And right. I feel like the Mavericks probably going to get another win in them. But I feel like it'll end up going to 6. Timberwolves are going to take it because, you know, as we all know, they're going to push that Ant-Man. You know, I think John Moran is one of the big-time guys here in the Memphis area and all around the country. But, you know, Ant-Man has really taken that tassel and ran with it with these commercials, and he's pushing the NBA. And they're looking for that next person after LeBron leaves, after these guys leave out, that's going to push the league. And he's done an amazing job, and I don't see the reason why they wouldn't help give an extra call on the ref side to push this guy over the top. That's just my idea.
No doubt. I think you probably end up being right again. I saw it the other day on Facebook, man. We're missing Ultimate Preps. You got too many jobs to do now. You've moved on and you've gone national and viral. Is folks still calling for Ultimate Preps, man? Is folks still missing? It was just on Facebook the other day. Like, we need Cottrell back. But you know, digital realtor now, Tennessee, Mississippi. You got your Timberwolves by night. I mean, we got to get somebody to pick it up, but nobody will do it like you did, man. Nobody will do it like you did.
And I totally miss it. And I talk to my wife about that all the time. She's like, won't you get out there to a game? You know, I think the thing that kind of threw that off was COVID. Once COVID hit, they shut all those games down and they were stopping people from coming to the games. For us, we had to go after pretty much a grant or something that was going to keep Ultimate Preps running. But, man, we were getting 700,000 views.
Bro, you had grown that thing. Yes.
So,
you had built it yourself. That's what I admired so much, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
I just, and again, that's the way I'd end it with you, man. I just so admire the way you're living, for the present. Congratulations, you know, on this and the way you've blown up, and just really, man, I think it's all love. Just from again, it's payment really for the positive impact that you're trying to be. Just the way you live your life, yeah. I just have a belief that that's the way things work, and you know, appreciate what you said about. You know, it's certainly a tragic situation in your life. I just think that can help a lot of people too, man. You have to. I had to. We have to move on and still let our light shine, brother. And you're letting your light shine, man. So congratulations on everything, brother Cottrell. And man, thank you for your time, man.
I appreciate you guys again. Welcome
on. You're gonna make me root for Minnesota. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I heard about the pause at the Grizz game too. So. You know,
yeah, man, I'm watching you now. You heard about it. Now. If you come in FedEx Forum with them same paws on, trying to pass it off as a Grizz outfit, we're gonna check you on it. You're getting this. You're their number one. Now that's not saying you can't be a Grizzlies fan, but don't be wearing that Amazon outfit you got, the Timberwolves outfit.
Oh man, okay,
dude, you picked the right stuff. Obviously, man, that thing popped. The neon green, the wolf. I mean, my gosh, you blew up with it, and you just got it off Amazon.
Yeah, man.
Amazon's crazy.
He's a go-to.
I'm telling you, man, if you can dream it, you can do it. And Cottrell Macklin is every day proof of that. Brother, thank you.